The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Good morning, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. This is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, Executive Director of CARE Georgia. Welcome to CARE On Air, the Civil Rights Hour. Thank you all for joining us. As you know, we were not on air last week. We were dealing with some urgent work that we had to get done with our organization, and that seems to be the case pretty much every week, but we're happy when we can join you for this program. Thank you again to AM360 for having us and for their patience with us as we juggle our work with also trying to communicate and educate the community. As you all know, if you've been watching the news, it's been a wild few weeks from the fire at Notre Dame, the fire at Al-Aqsa Masjid, the burning down of three African-American churches in Louisiana, of course, the drama involving President Trump and Bob Barr and the Mueller report, and obviously Ilhan Omar once again coming under attack unfairly and unjustly, in our opinion. What I'd like to do today is discuss that issue primarily, because it keeps happening over and over again. Every time we think it's done, it happens again. Ilhan Omar coming under attack. Why is this happening to her? Why do people try to find every opportunity possible to attack her
for nothing, really, when she hasn't done anything wrong. And we believe the reason is that some people just cannot stand the sight of a person of color, a woman, a refugee, immigrant, hijab-wearing Muslim on the floor of the United States Congress. And to make it all worse, she's outspoken. Outspoken about issues like American policy towards the Palestinian people, about American support for Saudi Arabia's behavior in Yemen. She's outspoken about all these things, and she seems to take no prisoners when criticizing government officials. And, you know, the status quo cannot handle that. And, of course, I think even Ilhan Omar would admit that she has probably said some things inartfully, but there's a big difference between saying something inartfully and saying something deliberately. President Trump has made numerous actual deliberately and gotten away with it over and over again. Ilhan Omar has said things that were benign but said them perhaps inartfully, and she is excoriated for it. It's not fair. It's not right. And I'm happy to see that many people are recognizing this now. Initially, many people threw her under the bus, but now people recognize that we've got to stand up for minorities in this country. We've got to stand up for people of color who are in leadership positions and unjustly attacked, because if we don't, then it just hits the next person and the next person and the next person. This has got to stop somewhere, and I'm glad to see that people are putting their foot down with Ilhan Omar. What I'm going to do today, inshallah, is let you listen to the actual speech that she gave that caused so much of the kerfuffle most recently. So just to give you some background on what happened, Ilhan spoke at CARE Los Angeles's banquet out in L.A. about 3 weeks ago. And during that banquet, she gave a speech. It was live streamed on Fox News, live streamed for everyone to hear. And at the time, no one had an issue with it. There were no complaints. There were no criticisms. There was no problem at all. 3 weeks later, after the speech, after everyone saw the speech, 3 weeks later, an Islamophobic individual in Australia posted a snippet of her speech in which she briefly and indirectly referenced the 9/11 attacks. He then accused her of essentially making light of the attack. That was then picked up by an anti-Muslim bigot in Congress named Dan Crenshaw from Texas. He then amplified it, and then it took off in the, you know, anti-Muslim and right-wing online community, eventually culminating in President Trump himself tweeting out a video of Ilhan Omar's remarks, that little snippet of the remarks with images of the World Trade Center being destroyed by terrorists on 9/11. So look, Ilhan Omar, as a result of this, is experiencing death threats. She's experiencing, you know, stress to her and her family. Capitol Police have been called in to increase her security. Obviously, there are concerns that someone might attempt to harm her. And, you know, the sad thing is that it's not just an empty concern. It's a very legitimate concern. One man was recently arrested and prosecuted for threatening to, quote, put a bullet in her head. So, you know, this stuff, it's dangerous because people take it seriously. President Trump might think it's just a political game, but for some people out there, this is all very, very real, and they take it all very, very seriously. And so we have to as well. This cannot stand, and these attacks on her have to come to an end. So with that, I'm going to let you listen to the full remarks, not just the 20-second snippet that they pulled out of her, but the full remarks of what she said, so you can judge it for yourself. And the speech is really inspiring. It's a speech about telling the American Muslim community we are not and no longer can behave as second-class citizens, right? After 9/11 happened, many Muslims, our civil liberties started to be stripped away. Muslims were being locked up, investigated, spied on, in some cases unjustly deported. You know, it was a madhouse, and many American Muslims were under pressure, under threat, and kind of ducked their heads. But that's not okay anymore. American Muslims are no longer on defense. We're on offense, standing up for our rights, speaking up against injustice, whether committed by terrorists or bigots. And we have nothing to be afraid of when it comes to people. And so I think that was Ilhan's message, that we as a community can no longer sit back and allow our civil liberties to be stripped away. We can no longer be on the menu. We've got to be at the table. And she ran for office to make sure she was at the table. And some people don't want her at the table anymore. They want her off the table, hence why they are misconstruing her remarks. So with that, let me let you listen to the remarks, and you can judge it for yourself. I'll probably stop a few minutes in, maybe 10 minutes in, so we can listen to public service announcements, and then we'll come back and listen to the rest of it and then dialogue about what we heard, inshallah. So this is, again, Representative Ilhan Omar, CARE Los Angeles, 3 weeks ago on March 23rd of 20.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I also want the light so I can see your beautiful faces. I am truly, truly, truly honored for the opportunity to be here with all of you. It's been a really hard week for the Muslim community, and I feel extremely lucky to be here in California with all of you fighting for justice, for equality, for the right for us to equally exist in this country. Many people expect our community to feel like it needs to hide every time something happens. But repeatedly, we have shown them that we are not to be bullied, we are not to be threatened, we are not to be terrorized, we are strong, resilient, and we will always show up to be ourselves because we know we have a right to a dignified existence and a dignified life. The other thing that is exciting to me to be in this room is that there are very fascinating people outside who for so many years have spoken about an Islam that is oppressive. An Islam that lessens and isolates its women. And today they gather outside to protest a Muslim woman who is in Congress. And in the irony in that is very entertaining to me. I know many of them drove miles to get here, spent a lot of energy and resources and money to purchase the signs that they have. But I don't think any of them realize that people like myself and many of the people in this room can care less about what they have to say because we know who we are and where we belong and what we stand for. So we are coming off a tragic, tragic nightmare that has happened to Muslims in New Zealand. Many of us know that this is not a one-off incident. Many of us were not shocked or surprised. Many of us were kind of holding our breath for a really long time thinking, when will something like this happen? Because many of us have experienced threats in our mosques, in our schools, even for our individual leaders. Many of us have witnessed bombings of mosques. Many of us have seen mosques set on fire. Many people a few years ago watched in horror as gunmen showed up to Irving, Texas, at a mosque threatening Muslims. So we all kind of knew that this was happening. But the reason I think that many of us knew that this was going to get worse is that we finally have a leader, a world leader, in the White House, who publicly says Islam hates us, who fuels hate against Muslims, who think it is okay. It is okay to speak about a faith and a whole community in a way that is dehumanizing, vilifying, and doesn't understand, or at least makes us want to think that he doesn't understand the consequences that his words might have. Some people, like me, know that he understands the consequences. He knows that there are people that he can influence, threaten our lives, to diminish our presence. But what we know, and what Islam teaches us, and what I always say, is that love trumps hate. Every time we feel threatened, we show up with love, and others stand with us in solidarity. We've seen that with the Muslim ban. It's very hateful policy that has now been fully implemented, one that is going to leave a stain in our nation's history. When the ban was first announced, Muslims across this country rushed out to stand against it, and everyone else in all of our communities showed up alongside us. We also know that when this last shooting happened, even though leaders, non-Muslim leaders, said people should not go to Jummah prayers, people should not show up at their mosques, we knew that the only way we will continue is for all of us to show up. And even if you were not planning on going to Jummah prayer, that Friday you were going to Jummah prayer. And we knew that others within our communities will also show up. That is how it works. Once you are willing to stand up for yourself, once you recognize what your rights are, what you should be entitled to, then others will show up for you. Liberation is not an external thing. It's an internal thing. People always say to me, how power? And I say, I was born this way. It is not about how others make us feel. We tell ourselves that we are worthy. So when you know as a Muslim that advancing justice is very inherent in you, when you know as a Muslim our faith's initial foundations were built by a prophet who was vilified, had stones and fruit and all kind of things thrown at him, a prophet who had to make a pilgrimage and leave his home, then you know that when Ilhan is facing some controversy, that is not something to be afraid of. We might be headed to the promised land of seeking the truth and finding our internal liberty once we internally liberate ourselves. Muslims for a really long time in this country have been told that there is a privilege, that there's a privilege that we are given, and it might be taken away. We are told that we should be appropriate. We should go to school, get an education, raise our children, and not bother anyone. Not make any kind of noise. Don't make anyone comfortable. be a good Muslim. But no matter how much we have tried to be the best neighbor, people have always worked on finding a way to not allow for every single civil liberty to be extended to us. You can clap for that. So the truth is, you can go to school and be a good student. You can listen to your dad and mom and become a doctor. You can have that beautiful wedding that makes mom and dad happy. You can buy that beautiful house. But none of that stuff matters if you one day show up to the hospital and your wife or maybe yourself is having a, and you can't have the access that you need because someone doesn't recognize you as fully human. It doesn't matter how good you were. If you can't have your prayer mat and take your 15-minute break to go pray in a country that was founded on religious liberty. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you one day find yourself in a school where other religions are talked about, but when Islam is mentioned, we are only talking about terrorists. And if you say something, you are sent to the principal's office. So to me, I say raise hell. Make people uncomfortable. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Far too long, we have lived with the discomfort of being a second-class citizen. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And every single Muslim in this country should be tired of it. Care was founded after 9/11. Because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties. So you can't just say that today someone is looking at me strange, that I am going to try to make myself look pleasant. You have to say, this person is looking at me strange. I am not comfortable with it. I am going to go talk to them and ask them why.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Ahmed Mitchell back with you. So I'm going to pause it right there. So if you were listening all that closely, I'd like you to ask yourself what part of that was controversial? What part of that, heard in context, is bad? The thing that people threw a fit about is the line where she said, some people did something. That's the part where they're saying she was downplaying the 9/11 attacks. But when you listen to the whole speech in context, and you actually see what she physically does during the speech, she holds her one arm out saying, some people, indicating very clearly not the Muslim community altogether, but some people, a small group of individuals, not representative of the whole community, did something horrible, and yet the whole community is suffering for it. Right? That was her point, and that was what became so controversial. Again, not because she really meant or said anything wrong, but because the people who hate her and hate the sight of an American Muslim woman refugee wearing a hijab in Congress and speaking up for Palestinian human rights, speaking up for Yemeni human rights, and other issues. They can't stand the sight of it, and so they go after it for any reason. Let's pause it there. It's 11:25. Let's listen to some public service announcements, then we'll come back and listen to the rest of it, inshallah.
I'm an American Muslim, and I have the freedom to say just about whatever I want. And that's a great blessing for my personal intellect, and I hope for the group intellect. I have a free speech right, and I'm proud of that right. But let me ask you, just because I have the right to say a thing, does it mean it's right to say it? Citizenship has its responsibility. When we speak, we should speak our mind, but we can also speak from our hearts. And when we do both, maybe it will help us all become better communicators and more responsible citizens. Even when we disagree, we can still be agreeable. Let's use our free speech wisely, because our expression can help or hurt. A public service announcement from AM 360 and CWSC. Don't give up the
faith. Peace be unto you. Masjid Free Haven in Lawnside, New Jersey presents the 5th annual A Day with the Prophet, a spiritual educational weekend, April 19th to the 21st. Guest speakers, Imam Jihad Safir, L.A., California. Aisha Mustafa, editor of the Muslim Journal. Imam Abdul Aziz, New York City. Imam Salim Mukman, founder of Maui. Maisha Aziz Esquire, Masjid Free Haven. And Imam Malik Mubashir, Philadelphia. The weekend begins with Juma prayer. Saturday workshop includes free lunch and Sunday free breakfast. Join us at the Wayne Bryan Community Center, 323 East Charleston Road, Lawnside, New Jersey. Vendors are welcome. For tickets and vending, call 856-261-5990. That's 856-261-5990. See you there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, host of El Islam-based conversations and financial literacy equals financial liberation, right here on AM 360. I'm honored to invite you to cruise with me and the AM 360 and the CWSE family to help celebrate the 10th anniversary of American Muslim 360 Radio and the building of our entire national intelligentsia. In March of 2020, we'll be departing the U.S. from Tampa, Florida, for a destination, the beautiful Western Caribbean island of Cozumel. We have so much planned for you, including pre-cruise interfaith events in Tampa, to a wonderful Juma at Sea, a grand gala, an award celebration, and a national symposium. Yours truly will join my fellow talk show hosts to bring the AM 360 Network and some powerful intelligentsia presentations live aboard the Paradise. In addition to a wonderful family, friends, and community cruise, more than 10 presentations are planned, from the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the Courtship Cafe to the challenge of technology connecting with the global group intellect via the United Nations, to an intelligential presentation you won't want to miss on estate planning, with a special gift package reserved for cruise conferees. As a national talk show host, I'm blessed with the privilege of coming to you every week on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. And now I look forward to the honor of meeting you in person and celebrating with you aboard the Paradise. So visit cwsc.us, that's cwsc.us now, and get ready for a faith voyage of a lifetime and a celebration for all ages. Bon voyage. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back. All right, we're going to take you back to Ilhan's remarks and let you hear the rest of what she said. But I want you to hear the first part so you can see what people were throwing a fit about and hear it for yourself, and then see if you could pick out what was controversial about that. And I assume you didn't hear anything that was problematic, right? But again, if you take a snippet of what someone said, interpreted in the worst possible way, then of course you can make someone look bad, but it's clear that what she was trying to say was not bad, and in the context of her whole speech, it was not bad either. So anyway, but let's listen to the rest of what she said so you understand her full point.
Because that is the right you have. So there are people, and Hassan is on the right track. It's always good, right? I say you can't hate up close. You can't hate up close. Anytime you have an opportunity to go talk to someone, the chances of them hating you lessen. So that is a practice we should all adopt. But the one thing that has always been very fascinating to me, and Hassan and I were talking about this before I came down here, is that there are always these folks who have ayahs prepared in their head. It's part of their talking points. And I don't think, I mean, I'm not, a hafiz. I don't know. I don't know what, chapter 4, 1, 3, 5 says in the Quran. Any Muslim in here know what that is? No? Okay. I found out. That's expected, I suppose. But it goes, right? They're always putting these ayah numbers, and I'm like, I really don't know. Let me get back to you. I don't even know how to Google that yet. But there was a woman, again, who we're not going to mention, and she was talking to Hassan outside. He went to go talk to her because Hassan is brief like that. And so in their conversation, she's, right, like saying all of these chapter numbers and ayah numbers, verse numbers and chapter numbers. And I thought about it. I said, you know, we should, like, just kind of do that. I started a practice, and I'm hoping, you know, Muslims who are elected around the country would just do this. I tweet out verses of the Quran. I say, assalamu alaikum, and all, you know, alhamdulillah. I tweet back at people, astaghfirullah. I mean, I'm trying to make sure that people are Googling these words. I never really put the definition there, because I want them to get comfortable as they Google what they mean. So I was thinking that, you know, I should think about maybe some ayahs that kind of explain why someone like me exists. And to me, it is really important, because there is not enough conversation rooted in the fact that advocacy, fighting for justice, standing up for what is right, is very inherently Islamic. So for those of you who want to Google this ayah, it's in chapter 4, 135, and I'll paraphrase it. This ayah says that as Muslims, we are called on, right, to stand up for justice and to speak the truth, even if it is against ourselves, our parents, and our close relatives. If Hassan was up here, he'd probably say it in Arabic, but I'm work in progress, so that's all I got. And so when people, you know, are having these conversations with me, and they say, you know, Ilhan, why do you criticize Muslims who are doing something? What is your problem with Arab countries? Why are you always talking about, you know, this particular country, and you're not talking about that particular country? My choice of a country to talk about is not my preference of country. It is based on what country is violating basic human rights. So it doesn't matter if that country is being run by my father, my brother, my sister. I will still criticize that country, because I know every country is capable of living up to their best. Every leader has the ability to lead with compassion, to lead with justice. So it is important for us to recognize that. and to make sure that we're not only holding people that we don't like accountable. We must also hold those that we love, have shared values with. And so I am, again, very grateful to have the opportunity to be in a room like this with all of you. As an elected Muslim in Congress, I feel the weight of responsibility that I have to not live up to the name of being a Muslim, but live up to the ideals of what it means to be a Muslim. And I know as an American member of Congress, I have to make sure that I am living up to the ideals of fighting for liberty and justice. Those are very much rooted in the reason why my family came here. And so, regardless of how hard Washington might get for me or your neighborhoods might get for you, you have to always remember that we have a mission as humans to love one another, care for our neighbors, to raise compassionate children, and to fully every single day show up and make sure that we are furthering justice. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
Assalamu alaikum. So that was Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota speaking in Carroll, Los Angeles, back on March 19th. So again, I share that with you so that you hear for yourself what she said, March 23rd, excuse me. So you hear for yourself what she said and hear for yourself whether or not she said anything that was intended to be or was in fact offensive. And I think if you listen to the whole speech, it's clear that she did not. But again, the people who have attacked her know that, and they don't really care. The whole point is to undermine her. The whole point is to silence her. The whole point is to make her radioactive so that she can no longer operate and work in Congress. But, you know, thank God, it seems these people have overreached, and they have exposed themselves for being disingenuous. I'll give you one example. Dan Crenshaw, the representative from Texas who helped to start all this stuff by attacking her, he ran a Facebook group of full of hate speech, bigotry, racism, and he read that rant alongside Ron DeSantis, who is now the governor of Florida. And he himself is known for making anti-Muslim remarks. And so it's just hilarious for that same person to then accuse Ilhan Omar of saying inappropriate things. And, of course, we don't even need to talk about President Trump and the things that he has said about Muslims and Mexicans and pretty much everyone else of any different community. So anyway, that's what we're dealing with here, is the hypocrisy of it. But the nice thing about this is that not only has the Muslim community rallied in defense of Ilhan Omar multiple times now, but now people in other faith communities are realizing that this is wrong. And they're stepping up and saying that it's wrong and unacceptable, and that we cannot allow her life to be put in danger because of this political game. And that's what's happening. She's being threatened. Even Carroll, Los Angeles has come under threat and been harassed. And this stuff has got to stop, and it's got to be combated against as long as it continues. So anyway, that's what's going on with Ilhan. She's hanging in there. She's still doing her thing. God willing, she will continue to, shake a wash and make positive change. God willing, she'll be careful with her words so she doesn't make it easy for the bigots to come after her.
and we'll see what happens, God willing. Now, with that, the only other major thing that I want to briefly comment before we go to PSAs and questions is the burning of Notre Dame. Obviously, it turns out this appears to have been an accident caused by construction. Anytime you see a house of worship, destroyed or damaged, it's a distressing thing. But I think we've got to keep in mind the fact that three black churches went up in flames in Louisiana deliberately. We've got to keep in mind that numerous Muslim houses of worship had been blown up and destroyed deliberately by Western governments and by so-called Muslim extremists, Syria and Iraq and Palestine and elsewhere. And we've got to keep in mind that synagogues and churches have also been under threat. Churches have been under threat in China and other countries. Obviously, the Tree of Life Synagogue was attacked here in the United States. So, the Notre Dame burning is, very obviously something that's very distressing to many people. But at the end of the day, we should be more distressed about the loss of life that's happening at houses of worship around the world, and we should be very distressed about attacks on houses of worship, things that aren't some accidents. Obviously, we're very distressed whenever we lose history, but at the same time, I want to make sure that we are not overreacting to one thing compared to the loss of property accidentally as compared to the deliberate destruction of property and human life. So I think that's just something for all of us to keep in mind. It's 11:42. Let's take a break for a few PSAs, and we'll come back and answer any questions that anyone in the audience has.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
The Community-Wide Share Conference, also known as CWSC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, also known as Amrahum Shura Bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. The Community-Wide Shura Conference recognizes that only through Shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From administration to clerical operations, training, and development, we're looking for top-notch volunteers who bring the leadership and management skills and commitment to support our mission. We have volunteer opportunities available, and our mission is to realize our model community vision by operating as a national intelligentsia, researching, designing, communicating, and implementing solutions that enhance goal achievement in all aspects of our community life. And what is our vision? It is to remake our world into a better place by unleashing and harnessing the full capacity inherent in the group intellect. We welcome each and everyone to Community-Wide Shura Conference. Let's remake our world into a better place. Thank you, and we look forward to working along with you. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back. All right, it is about 11:47, so we'll take any questions that anyone may have if they're on the line. Anyone in the queue? Anyone with questions?
Press 1 on your phone. Anyone, if you want to come into the queue here on Care on Air, Civil Rights Hour. Edward, I have a question. Martha Nyla from St. Petersburg, Florida, and it is in reference to as we're listening to. Our dear sisters speak, my mind went to the inference, I guess it is what the remarks have been made. You know, they look for what is not said more so probably than what is said. But again, having the civil rights, or having the right to say and speak what is on our mind, especially when it's something that's constitutionally being what do you call it? I can't think of the word. But anyway, where do we, at what point really do we begin to, you know, say something to our senators or what have you? Is it initially, and would that be seen as being emotional, or do we do some strategic planning on the ground, or do both?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, as American Muslims develop and strengthen political power, like minority communities before us did, it'll become easier to stop these kind of things from happening. But even with the very limited political power that American Muslims have, you have seen some success. For example, the last fake controversy about Ilhan Omar about a month or so ago, Congress was on the verge of passing a resolution condemning her by name. And the American Muslim community, the American Jewish community mobilized together to stop that and say that it's unacceptable to single out her based on a fake allegation of bigotry when, you know, there's serious real bigots out there who make real bigot remarks. And so as a result of that, a resolution passed that condemned Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, white supremacism altogether and didn't attack her by name, obviously. And so you saw success there. And now with this incident, you've seen that we've been able to call on American political leaders to jump to her defense and to expose them for being silent in the first few days after this happened. Now pretty much every major Democratic candidate for president has come to her defense. You know, even the White House, President Trump, they're back on their heels having to explain why, you know, they are doing what they're doing, why they're endangering her life. So I do think that we've got to speak up when these things happen. We have to speak up loudly and vocally very quickly because it really acts as a deterrent. If people think they can keep getting away with this stuff, then, you know, they might keep doing it. But if we can make sure that bigots know that it's not going to be an easy ride anymore, if they want to try to silence Muslims or African-Americans or Latino-Americans or Palestinian-Americans or whatever, that, you know, we're not going to roll over and it's not going to be an easy victory for them. We are going to stand up for our rights and we're going to fight back in the court of law and the court of public opinion, God willing. So I say all that to say that, you know, I think this, as distressing as this entire situation has been, the positive of it is that it's really giving the American Muslim community an opportunity to rally, to rise and to organize. And so that's been the positive of this.
Alhamdulillah. Well, praise be to Almighty God. Thank you so much for those comments. I know as we speak with younger individuals that are not rebelling, but they're wanting to be active and they're wanting to, and they're looking at both of what we call the parties, the, you know, Republican and Democrat, and then even those who are what's in between. But they're not wanting to even be identified, you know, with a certain party, some of them, not all, some. But they definitely want to do their civil duty and vote, but they want to know what's happening and have a a say in it. Praise be to God. This is something that will bring, I guess, their thinking to the forefront, hearing her diligence. Inshallah. Thank you so much.
Inshallah. You're welcome. Any other questions?
No, there aren't any. No one else is on to press one. That'll do it.
Okay. All right, so just a few programming updates. So what we decided to do with the program is to shift for now from a weekly program to a biweekly program, meaning that we'll be on every other week, inshallah. And so the next program will not be next week, but the week after, inshallah. And then we're also going to look at maybe pulling in a co-host to share the hosting duties, which I think will be nice because it'll give you some variety in who you're hearing from. And also make it a little easier for us to balance the work we have to do, the civil rights work we do on a daily basis with the show. So, inshallah, we hope to have some updates for you, inshallah. But, again, next program will not be next week, but the following week, inshallah. As always, if you have a topic you want us to address in the show, just email us at info@ga.care.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, period, G-A. I'm sorry, info@ga.care.com. info@ga.care.com. Send us a topic that you want us to address in a future program, and inshallah, we will try to make that happen, inshallah. So with that, if no other questions, I'll let us play out with any remaining PSAs, and inshallah, we'll see you all during Ramadan, inshallah. May Allah bless us in the month of Shaban and allow us to reach Ramadan. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. You're listening to American Muslim 360 Radio Network at am360.org on the dial. This is Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC, the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. And we welcome you to either our live programming or podcast, where we feature encore best of the best pre-recorded programming. We invite you to visit us at cwsc.us to view our live programming and podcast schedule and our calendar events. For either live or podcast programming, you can stream at am360.org or dial 701-719-4197. And again, that's 701-719-4197, any hour of the day or night to enjoy 24-hour quality programming. For our live broadcast, you can be part of the conversation in real time and share your opinion directly with the host or guest and audience. Just listen for call-in information during our live programming. We ask that you refrain from calling in while you're behind the wheel driving, even if you're using a hands-free device. We want you to be safe. Once you've pulled over or arrived at your destination, we welcome you to call into our studio. When it comes to our podcast, over the years, we've produced thousands of episodes with timeless knowledge applicable to the human condition. And although an episode may have been produced in the distant or near past, the knowledge shared is just as vital now as it was when it was recorded live. But we have to update you with our latest contact information and on how you can become a friend of the station and CWSC and help keep us the place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. So grab a pen and paper or your smartphone to take down some important information. If you want to leave us a listener comment, or maybe you've got a programming idea you'd like to share, and we hope you do, here's how. You can email us at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. You can also record a comment on our listener comment line at 910-317-0297. Again, that's 910-317-0297. And we may even share your comment on air. You can send us a message on our website, cwfc.us. We're also on Facebook. And we ask that you like our page. Just look for Community-Wide Shura Conference. Shura is spelled S-H-U-R-A-A. Again, S-H-U-R-A-A. That's Community-Wide Shura Conference. And share our Facebook page with your friends. Tweet us at CWShura. You can also find us on Google Plus and the LinkedIn platforms. We also need your financial support, and it allows us to keep bringing you the quality programming you've come to depend on. And your support allows us to expand our Intelligentsia services. To make your tax-deductible gift, look for the blue donate button at the top of our homepages at cwfc.us. Make a one-time contribution or become a recurring contributor and help us know we have your support each and every month. And, of course, you can cancel at any time. If you want to mail in a contribution, make your check or money order payable to CWSC Inc. That's CWSC, INC. And send to Marina Village, M-A-R-I-N-A, Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Again, that's Marina Village, spelled M-A-R-I-N-A, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Finally, you should know that our broadcasting center is part of a family of Intelligentsia components, from scholarships and historical preservation programs to National Speakers Bureau, Think Tank, Volunteer Human Resource Network, and more. Unlike any other radio station, AM360.org encourages you to engage with the group intellect on any number of issues affecting society. And we offer you an opportunity to engage in working with the group intellect to help address the issues of this field passion. While you're at CWFC.us, look for MCNRD. That stands for the Model Communities National Resource Directory. It's a catalog of persons from around the country, just like you and me, who listed their knowledge, their skills, and expertise, and are willing to help communities anywhere in the country. Plus, you get a chance to meet new leaders and work on issues together frequently without leaving the comfort of your home. And it's all possible because of the MCNRD and the 21st century technology that Allah has blessed us with. So keep listening, and we hope you'll register in the MCNRD, because together we can reshape the world. Assalamu alaikum.